All right, we'll be in James, and as we're in James, you can grab a Bible from the back of the chair. If you need a Bible, take that. That's our gift to you. And as we continue our chapter, verse by verse, we'll be in James in 4 and 13. And as you're finding that place, I just want to start out with this. What the Lord laid on my heart was how good and gracious and wonderful and amazing He is. And you think of this last week, I don't know if you saw two things that happened that affected my life deeply. The first thing was watching Billy Graham on the Fox News channel, and where he had showed one of his last sermons, and it was all called The Cross. And if you haven't seen that, I recommend it. And you think of Billy Graham's life, he's 95 years old, and he's still preaching the same message. A saving, wonderful God who loves us. And so when we come to a repentant faith, we place our faith in Jesus Christ, but we turn from our sins and turn from our own way in my will and allow His will to work in our life, then we believe in Him and trust in Him, and then we can have eternal life. And the Billy Graham Society and Crusade put this on TV. It was on a couple of things, and it went across the country. And they even took out billboards in downtown New York on Times Square, that big screen that flashes across, and they played it on there. And that is the hope that we have as a nation, and the hope we have for each other, and the hope we have is Jesus Christ will come again. We place our hope in Jesus Christ, and that's eternal life. And the second thing that truly touched me deeply was I called the Meltons, and you know Sue. And Sue is in her last stages of life. She's in hospice care. And she might have even passed away by now. But on Friday night, I spent some time over with the family. And Sue is lying in the bed, and praise the Lord for morphine because she's not in pain, not suffering. And just being around that, and I was thinking to myself, like, Lord, it's amazing that you allow me the honor and the privilege to be with people who love you so much and who love each other so much. Because in that final stage in life, it doesn't matter who we are or what we're doing or what we've done or success and failures. It's that you want people to be around you that care for you and love you. And watching this hospice nurse who knelt down beside her bed, and I was kneeling down and praying, and the daughter was praying, and watching all of them just pray and just quote scripture and just hug on Sue and kiss her, say, oh, Jesus, He's there. He's wanting you. It just was amazing. And it just affected me to go that, praise the Lord, that He is the hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when I come to the end of my life, I would love to have a room full of people praising the Lord and praying and ushering me into the presence of my King. Amazing God we have. A wonderful God we have. And I'm here to boast in Him. Boasting in the Lord. We like to boast, some of us. We boast in what's good or boast in what's bad. I've won this trophy. I've done this. Kind of reminds me of Foghorn Leghorn. Remember your Foghorn Leghorn? Come on, some of us know Looney Tunes, don't we? I say, listen to me, boy. Right? I've done this, I've done that, right? I boast in this and I boast in that, right? And that's what it is. And boast, we can boast, in the Bible has some things to say about boasting. Boasting can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. And Strong's defines it as boasting in self-confidence. And in James, it's this self, this whole idea of I, in this self-confidence. In other places, the boasting means glory and joy and rejoicing. And clearly, the Bible says we're not to boast about tomorrow. James 4 and 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. How many of you set goals every year? We have to set goals. Some of us set goals at school. We set goals. I can remember even doing this, right? When you are in a school child or when you're in school, your teacher says, here, would you please set your goals? What goals do you have for this year? How can you improve your learning? Or in your business, what goals do I have this year? I'm going to set it at $10,000, and then next year it'll be $15,000, or whatever it is. We clearly set goals. And when we get those goals, we celebrate. But what happens when we don't meet them? Uh-oh. Okay? Here, he is saying, today or tomorrow we go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and making a profit. Do you have plans? A one-year plan? Do you have a 10-year plan? How about a retirement plan? Do you got all that? Right? What happens when God disrupts your plans? Are you disappointed? Are you going to go in the tank and grumble and complain? And what happens when God rearranges your plans? You allow him to do that? Because we can make the best plans in the world. But God wants us to live for him each and every day and each and every moment. And know this plan. We will, personal, right? More than yourself. We will go. And what we'll do, we got the time, we'll spend a year there, and we will go to another city, that's the place, and what are we going to do? We're going to buy and sell, and then what are we going to do? We're going to make a profit, right? So we got our plans. Who's got plans for vacation already? Already in March. Spring break. Let's go. All right? I'm coming with you. We got retirement plans, we got an action plans, we got a game plan, we got financial plans, we got insurance plans, and you can keep yours, period. Right? But thing is, do we have God's plan? His repenting faith plan. The plan that he had out before the existence of time. For he knew he would have to send his son to live a perfect life, to die a cruel death on the cross, to rise 3 days later, to pay the price for your sins and my sins. Amazing, wonderful plan. His plan. And so we have plans. We're showing our business plan. We have the 5-year plan. And I'm, you know, it's not bad to plan. And the Lord doesn't say it's not bad to plan. But the concept here is when we leave God out of our plans, they're bound to mess up. And bound to fail. It's kind of like that song in Jesus Christ Superstar, you know? I'm dating myself again. What's the plan? Tell me what's happening. Don't we want to know the plan? Tell me what's the plan. What's going on? And we have to follow God's plan. And when we follow God's plan, we submit to him, that's when we are just more life is abundant, and you have the sweetness of the relationship with him and the relationship of each other. In Acts, there's a man called Ananias, and I'm sure Ananias didn't want to follow this plan, but he was chosen by God to go and to help out someone that was persecuting the church. Turn with me to Acts 9, please, and keep your finger in James. And in Acts 9, Ananias living his life, hanging out, cruising along, not you know, just following the Lord. And Ananias is chosen by the Lord to go and minister to Saul. Saul of all people. Saul, who would love to take people and persecute them because they were following this thing called the way. Following Jesus, what's this new thing? So Saul was going to go, was persecuting people, throwing them in jail, taking them away from their families, even beating them and having them scourged. And here the Lord calls Ananias to go and minister to Saul. Acts 9 and 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. Right? Says to you, Ken, Steve, Here I am, Lord. Right? And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Hey, here's this man called Saul. He's praying, and here's this vision. He sees you coming to put his hand on him. And then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here is the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Hey, Lord, this guy's not nice. He can throw guys like me into jail. And you want me to go talk to him? Yeah, I do. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Ananias, his plans, God's plans. God's plans, be ready and available to follow and serve the Lord. Ananias, get up and go. Really? Yes, go. What do you want me to do, Lord? Really? This guy's bad. But he talks with the Lord. He continues to talk with the Lord. And then he prays. And he prays, and then he obeys. And that is the key. We pray, and then we obey. Or we pray, and we don't hear. Or we pray and we go, no, I'm ignoring it. I'm not going to do that for you, Lord. But he prays and he goes. Why do people think or feel uncomfortable praying? I don't know. It's almost like even singing out loud. Praise the Lord, we can sing out loud. Pray out loud. We pray to a wonderful God. And we can pray. We have a great intercessor. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is interceding for us on our behalf. And why do people feel uncomfortable praying? It's just like talking to God. You know, you can walk into a store and you see people talking, and they're talking and babbling, and you think they're talking to you, but really they're talking to that thing in their ear called a Bluetooth. Why is it called a Bluetooth? I don't know. But you've done that before. I know you have, where they're talking, and you turn around and go, hi, and they're not even talking to you because they're busy talking to the phone. And if we can think of that, praying to the Lord, He wants to have that conversation with us. It's just like talking to a friend, right? And just you've heard this before probably, it's acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Acts. We adore Him. We praise Him. We start by just worshiping Him and telling Him how great and wonderful and marvelous He is. And then we confess, because the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And are we not all sinners who fall short of the glory of God? And when we just start praying, we go, oh Lord, give me this. Oh Lord, I need this. Oh Lord, heal this. Oh Lord, right? Confess. Lord, examine me. Is there anything in me that hinders my prayer? Forgive me, Lord. And then we spend time thanking Him, praising Him. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. Thank you and praise you for my children. Thank you for my job. Thank you for getting to go to church in a free country. Thank you for that grumpy person who cut me off because, guess what? I slowed down. I can make it work safely now. Thank you. That attitude of thanks and then a supplication, acts and praying. And those here, Ananias, he prayed and he went and he went and he followed and he obeyed. Even though this man, Saul, had a reputation of throwing me in jail and do damage to me, and sure, Ananias, you know, was questioning, Lord, you want me to go? But he said, the Lord says, go, I chose him. I will show him great things. He must suffer for my name's sake. And he followed God's plan. You see, Ananias followed God's plan. He counted the cost. Because when you follow God's plan, there's no deeper love, no deeper satisfaction than being in His will. Billy Graham was led to the Lord by Mordecai Ham. Mordecai Ham had an open tent meeting. He was an evangelist before Billy Graham. And Billy Graham's father actually helped finance and organize this meeting that Billy went. And there were two young boys, Mordecai Ham says this, there was two young boys out in the audience that felt uncomfortable what I was saying. And they wanted to join the choir. Can you always want to join the choir? They wanted to join the choir because they didn't want me to be pointing a finger at them. You know? And so they joined the choir even though they couldn't sing. But at that meeting, they both received the Lord Jesus as their Savior. See, this is an example back in Acts that God can use anybody, anytime, anywhere to bring Himself glory and to bring people to Himself. And it's another example of saving one person can have an amazing impact on the world. So that one person in your life that's bothering you, the Lord might be calling you to have an impact on him or her. Because He may be calling you. Ananias went up to Paul. And he didn't say, to Saul. Saul, oh, here you are. You're that evil, bad person that's going to throw me in jail. He went up to him and he said, Brother Saul. You are my brother. And the commonality of that is the Lord Jesus in their heart. You are my brother, Brother Saul. And what does the Bible tell us to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we love our brothers and our sisters. You know, let's look around at each other. Whether you like it or not, they're probably some of you might, you haven't met them anymore at all. But like it or not, you are my brothers and my sisters. And around each in this room here, as you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, they are our brothers and our sisters. And they are forgiven by the grace of our amazing God. I loved watching Billy Graham. And I loved listening to Papa Chuck Smith, who went to see the Lord about a month ago. Why? Because it was all about loving God and loving others. pointed out the love of God, and they love people. And that's the way the Lord wants us to live. Ananias called him brothers. And in our life, let's get rid of the fact that we want to prejudge and stick, you know, labels on people, you know. But let's live as Christians, brothers and sisters, not as strangers, because we are family. But guess what that takes? It takes risk. It takes courage. Because we're not alone. Being accepted into the Melton family when I was there, just because I have that title as pastor, was overwhelmingly beautiful. And so let's, as Christians, try to get to know people at a deeper level. Let's, as believers, try to get to know God at a deeper level. And let's stop being so harsh and so critical, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means you and I, and only by His grace that we can spend eternity in heaven. And as His grace, as we receive Jesus Christ, we are new creations in Christ. And sure, we all struggle with different things. We all have different problems. But guess what? He is my brother, but he may be just dealing with this addiction. He is my brother, but he is dealing with financial difficulties. She is my sister who may be depressed. He is my son and my daughter who may have rebelled. And why is it in our world that we are surprised that people who don't know the Lord Jesus are doing so many evil things? Right? The father of this world, the ruler of this world, is Satan. And so why are we surprised that when people who don't know God personally commit sins? And why are we surprised that there is evil in this world? Brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters, whether we like it or not. And we, when we believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, enter into the battle. It is a battle. And you know what? You may think that you are not part of it. I don't want to be a part of it. I didn't sign up. I didn't volunteer. I trusted in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And once you are a believer and a Christian, you are part of His kingdom. And He selected you and me, despite all our flaws, our sinful humanity, frail humans, to change the world. And even though you're saying, where do I sign up? You're already part of it. Welcome to the battle. So you're part of this family. So let's care and let's love for each other. And what, all of us have things going on in our life, and the Bible tells us to grieve with those who are grieving and to be joyful and celebrate with those who have joy. Aren't you glad that you're part of the family of God? I can't imagine going through the world all alone without the Lord, first and foremost, but also all alone without a brother and a sister and a family. In James, back in James, James says it's foolish to plan. Why does he say it's foolish to plan back in James? For what is your life? Your life, it is a vapor in James 4 and 14. It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's like the mist in the morning. You get up and you see the fog, and then by noon time it is gone. It's faded away. And so the Bible, James, is telling us to live for Jesus each day. And we follow God's plan. The opposite of God's plan is my plan. It is I will. In Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, Lucifer had his plans. And his plans, in James, that we can know in 5, was to kill, see, steal, and destroy. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14 says, I will do this, I will take over. And it's that arrogant self-reliance in defiance of God that God is against. The I will win at all costs. The I will do whatever I need to do to get ahead in business. The I will have it my own way. It's like the advertisement for hamburgers. You can have it your way. Take the pickles off, or the onions, or whatever it is. You can have it your way. Instead of that, it's if the Lord wills, we will do this. We will trust in Him. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this, that, and that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Arrogance, bragging, such and such. All bragging, all such bragging is boasting and evil. Your plans, your portfolios, your projections, your hope in yourself. Instead of placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, the Lord tells us it's not only foolish, but it's evil. In 17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the sin of omission. To do a kind deed that God has called you to do and you ignore it. To help and serve each other and you ignore it. To restore a relationship with someone you've maybe been angry with for a long time and not truly forgiving. That is sin. So when is boasting fine? When is boasting fine? Boasting in Jesus. Boasting in the Lord. Psalm 34:2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Psalm 44:8. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what day may bring forth. In 1 Corinthians 1:31. He who glories, glory in the Lord. This boast. This boast. When you live your life not interested in the praises of men and the attaboys at work, and you live your life for Jesus, it frees you up to tell others, to share others, to do the things that the Lord has called you to do. So you're not interested in any praises of men or any trophies, but the only thing you boast in is you boast of Jesus. We went to a men's conference yesterday down in Colorado Springs Calvary Chapel, Rocky Mountain Calvary Chapel. And of course you meet other pastors there. And when I meet another pastor, usually pastors, they talk about, oh, how's it going? And that means, how big is your church, right? What's their size? What's going on? And I want to boast in you guys. I boast about how you guys care for one another. And though we're small, I see how you guys share with one another and care with one another and love one another and how you love Jesus. And that's what I boast in. And then I boast in the privilege and honor that I get to come and serve the Lord. Because He is the author of our salvation. It's totally due to His grace and His mercy and His love that we get to spend eternity with Him. And that is just totally amazing. It is through grace and faith, lest anyone should boast. And because of that, we are now His eternal worshipers, because His work in us and through us. And in your life, I know there's some totally amazing things that the Lord Jesus is doing. Sean Lovejoy, in this book called The Measure of Success, says this: we must not seek to please people, we must please God. We must not seek to fill auditoriums, we must fill heaven. We must not seek fame, we must make Jesus famous. We must proclaim Jesus. Our success is measured by the one who called us. Is that enough for you? Lord Jesus, we want to boast in you. We want to praise you for your amazing salvation. And Lord, we grieve with those who grieve and we worship with those who worship. And thank you so much that we can spend eternity in heaven by placing our faith and trust in you. But Lord, right now, if there's someone who does not know you, I pray that today is the day that there's a repentant faith I pray they pray along with me is something like this, a simple prayer where they say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Thank you for being my sin bearer, for dying on the cross for me. I believe in you. I repent for my sins and ask for forgiveness. I trust in you. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus, you are my Lord. And Lord, help me to follow you the rest of the days of my life. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for saving me. And now, Lord Jesus, for those of us that are believers, I pray that we learn to boast in you, to walk in your will and your ways all the days of our life. For life is just a vapor. It's so short. And Lord, set our priorities straight. We just want to serve you and love you and spend time with you through prayer, through reading the Word, through coming to church. And Lord, we want to just be in love with each other. We are a family. And thank you for the special family of God here at Calvary Chapel, Louisville. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue to worship, and we're going to do communion. Communion is part of worship. If Ken can come forward, and Gary can come forward, and Rich. Please wait till we get the elements together. We'll do communion together. And then we'll play a song. And as we're playing this song, allow the Lord to examine your heart. Because we're not supposed to take communion in an unworthy manner. So if there's something going on that you know is not right between you and the Lord, before we take communion, use this time to examine your heart, allow Him to examine, and just quietly confess it to Him.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. Thank you. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree. Bending the knee, away off his wound and mercy. When all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. And realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all.
How he loves us. It's amazing. On the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said to his disciples, "This is my body, which will be broken for all." He said, "Take and eat in remembrance of me." Let's remember him. Lord Jesus, you're the hope. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, thank you so much for your broken body, for paying the price for my sins and the world's sins. What an amazing love. On the same night, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. This will be a new covenant. It will be shed for the remissions of sins. So take and drink in remembrance of me." Let's remember. Lord, as we go through communion, we just thank you for moving in our lives. We don't take it flippantly. It's not just something we do. It's an act of worship and a reminder of how great a sacrifice and how great a love that you gave to all of us. Lord, it just overflows and bursts in our hearts. Lord, that great love is available to anyone who who calls upon the name of Jesus. So let's just boast in you and boast in what you do through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. And this may be a little weird, but that's okay, you know. Grab each other's hands. I know we're not usually do this. You know, we're not one of those touchy-feely things, whatever. And you might go, ooh, that person just sneezed on his hand, but that's all right. Okay? Find someone to grab a hand. And it's just a symbol of we go through this life together with the Lord Jesus. And we go through this life with each other. And let's just stop and think. When we, at the end of our existence, we never know. It could be a vapor. Our life is just so brief. Let's take the opportunity just to hold each other's hand and pray and then just say, hey, my brother, you're my brother, you're my sister. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for family. And Lord, I just praise you that we have family because of you. You are our Father, and we are all your children. And we want to live our lives representing you well, loving each other and loving you. Praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hello, brother. Morning. Morning, brother. How are you? Morning, hi, sister. You know, that was, praise God.